This week on Theologically Thinking, Father Stephen Ritter is hosting a special six-part series on the Sunday readings of Great Lent. This week's first episode talks about the significance of the gospel and epistle readings during this 40-day period.
My brothers and sisters, once again, we are all blessed to be entering upon yet another season of the Great and Holy Lent. And as wonderful as this time of the year is, at least that is how we should feel about it, I am afraid that we sometimes approach it as yet another designated period where things that are uncomfortable for us, like fasting, for instance, dominate our thought processes and attitudes. It's easy to see why routine can set in. Each of these Holy Sundays is themed for us in a way that serves rather to mark the time instead of necessarily causing reflection, the type of introspection that makes for real change and spiritual growth in our persons. So we begin the counting. Sunday of Orthodoxy, St. Gregory Palamas, the Veneration of the Cross, St. John of the Ladder, St. Mary of Egypt, and the entry of our Lord into Jerusalem, each marks, week after week, our progress towards the bright resurrection of the Savior. Yet these commemorations, as important as they are not the primary focus of this season, as some of them were added historically over long periods of time, well after Lent itself was long established, even though Lent has varied in duration and conception depending on local customs and circumstances. Indeed, though some of these Sundays do have a tangential relationship to the Lenten period, and it is possible to trace a connecting line from Sunday to Sunday, in order for us to get the real message, the sometimes hidden message of Lent, we must turn to the Holy Scriptures. For it is here that we find the basis of all of our fasting, prayer, almsgiving, and especially what we might call our spiritual pedagogy. For this period is traditionally the time of that most important of events in Christian life, preparation for entrance into the Holy Church. And even for those of us who are long-time members, the Church calls us to renew and reflect on our journey year after year in order to keep us on the path that we once freely chose. For instance, do you know that during this period of the Triodion, the book that contains all of the liturgical texts for this season, and named because of the many three-odd canons found in the services, a poetical form believed to have been introduced by St. Andrew of Crete, whose great canon we hear during the first and fifth weeks of Lent, that three Old Testament books are designated to be read in church? That's right. Isaiah, Genesis, and Proverbs are appointed to be read for each Monday through Friday for the entire six-week period. And while those of us not in monastic environments might not be able to hear all of these, delving into them on a daily basis and pondering what is said about the prophecies of Christ coming into the world, the plan of salvation from the creation of the world and the Lord's movement among his people, and maxims for the attaining of wisdom and the blueprint of gaining a holy life, should be part of our daily Lenten practice, and pastors should publish this lectionary in their church bulletins weekly. But for time considerations, our focus must be on the Sunday epistle and gospel readings, and they are a sure and steady guidepost on our Lenten journey. With few exceptions, the Church appoints the letter to the Hebrews, commonly accepted to have been written by St. Paul, and the most didactic of all the epistles, for each Saturday and Sunday, while the Gospel of St. Mark is given for these same days. But there is evidence, especially in ancient sources from the Church of Jerusalem, that the Gospel according to St. John was originally read in Lent, and this, the first Sunday of Lent, shows evidence of that, as our reading is indeed from John and not from Mark. And it perfectly sets the stage for Lent as two main themes emerge, that of calling in the person of the Apostle Philip, who immediately recognizes the Lord as the Son of God, and thereby the calling of all of us as well, who know already by faith what Philip was just encountering, but are summoned to realize anew our own discovery of Jesus, to set our minds rightly and to accept his call to follow him, and begin our expedition with him in faith. Secondly, to take courage with thrilling expectation, as our Lord tells us that, quote, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What revelations lay in store for us who willingly follow the Lord to see heaven itself opening for all of us. The epistle reading from Hebrews only emphasizes this great and noble calling, presenting Moses himself as an example to us, as one who had everything, yet cast it all aside in order to follow the Lord. And we get the names of many others, too, who gave up everything in order to see only partially that which we as Christians today have in full. Astounding, isn't it? All of those who suffered valiantly, lost their lives, and abandoned everything, quote, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us, as the reading says. In other words, those before, no matter how great, were given testimonies that had to wait until our generation, the Christian generation, was brought to perfection in the fullness of Christ. This great cloud of witnesses encourages us to engage in the spiritual struggle with joy and confidence, so that we may, as Hebrews tells us, run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May we enter into this joy, never turning back even for a moment, and embrace everything the Lord sends us as joy itself. The race is on. God bless each and every one of you.
This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.